The past.
Seeing spirits.
The present.
Friends and enemies.
The future.
And a guide in the desert.
You are listening to COL Movies.
Greetings, program. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I'm going to make him an offer again.
I love the smell of red cum in the morning.
Go ahead. Make my day.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
May the force be with you.
Rosebud. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another reel of COL Movies. This is reel number 22, and we've got a great show for you. And to start off the show, I'd like to introduce my two cheesy co-hosts, Ray and Steve. How you guys doing?
I'm the cheesiest, apparently.
I'm a cheesy poof.
Sorry, I had like three grilled cheese sandwiches before we started.
Did the Virgin Mary appear to you in either one of them? Or,
no.
Grilled cheeses?
No, unfortunately not. So, but shall we get right to the news?
Sure.
And I'll start off by saying Adam Sandler looks terrible in drag.
I was just going to say he was an unfortunate woman.
I saw that.
You were being nice.
I saw that and I just couldn't resist. I'm like, oh my God. But apparently he's working on a movie where he plays his own
sister.
Himself and his sister. Yeah. So creepy.
That
is completely frightening.
Okay, I think I found a new profile picture for Facebook.
Oh, dear God. No!
Yeah, he definitely needs to go on Drag You. Get a little attention from Chanel and the other queens.
Yeah, he's pretty scary.
I don't like Adam Sandler one bit. If Adam Sandler is in the movie, I'm definitely not watching it.
You don't like any Adam Sandler movies?
I don't like anything Adam Sandler.
Oh, well. Oh.
There are some things I can deal with.
The Hanukkah song. I'm good with.
Lunch Lady Land? Come on.
Nope.
Slap, Slappy Joe.
Nope. Sorry. Joe.
No?
Wow. I am a Adam Sandler hater. Mm. So see, I can just move on.
Yeah, all I can think of right now is that someone in a professional makeup company or whomever was paid to make him look like that.
He's like white Chine. That's what comes to mind.
That was really broken up.
Oh, it's Fuzz. I wasn't sure if it was me or Fuzz. I'm like, maybe I'm just not hearing.
Okay, well, my internet is sucking today.
Well, let's move on to Yellow Submarine remake to start filming in April. No, I haven't seen the original.
No, it's a good one.
See, I got Hard Day's Night, which I love. Mm-hmm. But
I put this on here for two reasons. A, I didn't know that they were actually thinking of a remake. And I kind of thought it was funny that last week we talked about Mr. Zemeckis finally returning to live action movies. Mm-hmm. And this one is apparently, you know, going to be another animated fun fest with people with creepy eyes, like his last few movies. But I guess it was canceled by Disney because it cost too much money or something, and so everybody thought it was going to be a no-go, and now they're saying it's on again for April, so who knows? Maybe it's a sign of the economy getting better.
Well, it's just it starts filming. So are they going to do live action on this, then?
And no, it's all motion capture. It's all animated.
Ah, gotcha.
It's the old-school Yellow Submarine version, just updated for today's technology.
Yep.
Interesting.
Starring Carrie Elwes, Dean Lennox, Kelly, Peter Serafinowicz and Adam Campbell.
No. Hmm. So it should be interesting. I don't know. I'm kind of maybe want to go watch The Yellow Submarine again because I have not seen it in forever. And seeing that we were so close to or just past Mr. Lennon's birthday,
mm-hmm.
kind of in a Beatles sort of mood. So,
all you need is love.
Speaking of love fest,
Zack Snyder and Christopher Nolan are doing the next Superman movie, and rumor has it that General Zod would be in it. And what was said by Zack Snyder? It's just a rumor.
Yeah.
So no Zod, apparently. Just to let Luther.
It's a rumor. Rumor.
Have you I mean, is it for some reason? Why did I not know that Christopher Nolan was involved with this at all? Was I just brain dead for?
You were probably brain dead because I think we talked about this on an earlier show.
Did we? I remember talking about the reboot, but I don't remember Christopher Nolan's name. Oh, well, my brain is Swiss cheese.
That's okay. As we said, it's you're my cheesy co-host.
Zach.
His Swiss cheesy co-host.
There you go.
Yeah. Speaking of cheese, I don't know.
Wow, transition.
But, the Best of Bears happens every year. It's been happening the last 4 years. It's the fifth annual Best of Bears. This is run on Gotfur at CompleteBear.com. The nominations for this year's the Best of Bears 2010s has been opened. They've got a post on the CompleteBear.com with all the list of categories. And we want you guys to send in your nomination for COL Movies for Best Bear Podcast or Blog. You send that to info@thecompletebear.com. And hopefully we win.
Yay!
Yay!
For a full year, but that's okay.
We've made such an impact in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, hey. You know what? You know, we're probably going to be up against this other show... similar to ours, the title, it's the Cubs Out Loud. I'm not sure, but I'm sure we'll be up against that. And
those guys. Oh, mom. Yeah.
So, with that, let's start off with the movies.
I don't mind, but you better promise me I'll be back.
Going back in time, we have a Peter Jackson movie. It's actually, this is the last movie before Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. that Peter Jackson's did. His special effects company Weta had started off with like one box to render everything with. Then all of a sudden, he had 35, and he was like, "What do I do with all these computers?" And he ended up making The Frightener, starring Michael J. Fox, Jake Busey, Jeffrey Combs, Dee Wallace, Trini Alvarado. Basically, Michael J. Fox's character, Frank Bannister, gets into a car accident with his wife. His wife dies at the scene, and not from the car crash, though. And he ends up, after having this traumatic experience, seeing dead people. So this was Signs, or not Signs, The Sixth Sense before The Sixth Sense. and hilarity ensues.
Now, I have a question. I watched the director's cut of this. Okay. What about you, Steve?
I got whatever I got from Netflix.
Okay.
I don't remember it saying it was director's cut.
Okay, because I kind of remember this movie. I remember watching it. I remember there being a huge amount of hype for this movie when it came out, like seeing a ton of stuff mm-hmm. on cable and just buzz, 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 and then it sort of went away. Like,
it kind of flopped.
Yeah.
mean, it looks like the budget was $30 million and only made about $15.
Ouch.
Or maybe that was just opening weekend. I was just looking at it earlier in IMDb.
Do you guys think there's a reason for that? I was trying to figure out while I was watching it. I mean, it wasn't an awful movie. I'm just trying to think of, was it marketed wrong? Like, did people think it was going to be something and it was something else?
I think it's one of those movies it's a tweener. It's not a horror movie, but it's not a comedy. And I think as we've recognized through our analysis over the last 6 months of stuff, that sometimes those movies that are multi-genred don't tend to do very well because people just don't know what it is. You're like, I want to go see a scary movie, so if I ended up going to see The Frighteners, assuming it's going to be a scary movie, I'm going to be like, ugh. This wasn't a scary movie. Do you know what I mean? But if I'm, you know, is it a comedy? Is it a road picture? Is it a suspense movie? It was about 50 million different genres. And
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, exactly. So I think probably if it lost any steam at that time, probably it was that.
I'm not sure what to make of this movie.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean it wasn't good for what it was. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, I think a piece of it was it Michael J. Fox was odd in this movie. I hadn't watched it in a while, so this was my first time kind of rewatching it in a hot minute. And upon reviewing it, I was like, I don't know that I would have put him in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, this was his last full-length feature film that he did, and not exactly sure like how far along his Parkinson's had kind of creeped up on him yet, so I think that might be bleeding through a little bit in his performance lately. Because he did just seem like he was... I don't know. He was not carrying himself very well, or what I'm used to seeing him and do. So,
yeah.
I kind of always had that in the back of my mind. Although now knowing, you know, at the time when this movie came out, I don't think it was really public knowledge that he was suffering from this. So, I think now I'm looking at it with a more kind of critical eye as to what he's doing. And I also think that he's not playing a very likable guy in the beginning of this movie. So
right.
It's just kind of off-putting a little bit. So
the supporting characters definitely were the movie. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it was like an ensemble special effects cast.
Yeah.
I kept obviously, you know, Danny Elfman do the score for this, so it has some very sort of subtle Beetlejuice overtones.
Oh my gosh. You just took the words out of my mouth that I was going to say. I was just like, some of the characters were so caricature-y, you know, like especially like the woman who gets killed.
The newspaper lady?
Yeah, I think so. Number 40 or something like that. You know, like, she's such a caricature.
Miss Reese Jones.
Yeah. You know, that it reminded me of Beetlejuice, you know, and so the ghosts were so over the top, and then their abilities and stuff like that, it was very Beetlejuice. And so I was thinking that, Sam, you took that word out of my mouth, although you were talking movie or music-wise, I was thinking more of
stylistically. Well, I think it was a combination of the music and the characters were kind of setting that off for me. I mean, they even had a worm in it. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got a point there. But I mean, I think that was a big piece of it. Was it just? I mean, and that's again goes back to my point of it was kind of a schizophrenic movie. Didn't quite know what it was wanted to be, and it kept changing from one thing to the next. You know, is it enjoyable? Sure. Sit down and just watch the movie. It's enjoyable. I mean, I know someone made a note about the CGI and effects and stuff like that, and I don't think they were bad.
Yeah,
I don't. I think they did. They do hold up. I mean, sure, they're early stages of that, but for the movie itself and for the time, it looks good. I mean, compare that to the effects from The Howling versus today.
Oh yeah.
Oh, really? That's a huge difference.
Yeah, or even just after this movie, you know, only a few years after this movie was when The Craft came out. Mm-hmm. The Craft's effects surely did not hold up in comparison to the effects in this movie. So,
I mean, I look at it now, I guess, and there's certain things that maybe look maybe a bit awkward, and I don't know if that's just because your brain kind of gets used to, you know, with the increase in technology over the years, that, you know, oh, they've rendered this in, you know, fully fluid animation, whereas maybe because of processing limitations or something holding them back, they couldn't afford the render time or whatever, that sometimes things look not as fleshed out as I'd expect them to be. Okay. So somewhere in the back of my head, it's always like a little bell goes off and goes, ooh, that shot maybe could have been better now or redone better now.
So, well, did you watch the behind the scenes? Did you have the deluxe edition?
No, I didn't have any of the okay. I didn't watch any of the behind the scenes stuff. So,
well, I put the note in here about the fact that one of the things that Peter Jackson did, and I found this interesting, was that he had a behind the scenes crew following them the entire production. And his intention was to do a full behind the scenes because he assumed that this was going to be a groundbreaking kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess he, you know, had that big of an ego to assume, but I'm going to be doing a groundbreaking movie. So I want it documented all the way. So he hired a crew to do a full on, you know, side by side behind the scenes. And so the side by side behind the scenes was kind of interesting because they talked about, like, initially they were going to do the, they were going to do the big bad guy in animatronics. And then they were going to try him. It didn't quite look right. So they were like, oh gosh, what's our next thing going to be? So they tried it in as someone in a costume. That didn't work. So they tried green screen, like a half costume green screen actor. That didn't work. And then all of a sudden one of the guys, one of Peter Jackson's guys from his studio said, let me try to animate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he did a rough cut of the animation and it worked. And then he figured it out, and that's when they put all that animation in. So they didn't even go into this movie assuming they were going to use, I'm sure with the ghosts and stuff, they were going to use CGI. That made sense. But with the main character, Big Bad, they weren't going to do that initially. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
One of the things that I was wondering about while I was watching this was, okay, you didn't really see anything, no special effects really, other than, okay, the opening scene in mind, you know, you have this kind of big kind of special effects thing. And then nothing else for like 35 minutes. It seemed I kind of had my eye on the time on the movie. And again, this was kind of like The Howling, where I remember the ending of this movie, like the whole scene where they're in the abandoned hospital.
Right.
I remember that, but I didn't remember any of the beginning of this movie. And it's like, wow, okay, my brain was like, there's nothing really going on, so you don't really need to remember it.
I think I was the opposite. I actually remember more about stuff that happened at the beginning of the movie than at the end. More the idea that these guys would haunt the house, and
I remembered him being more shiesty than it actually was. I don't know why from when I saw it initially. I thought there was more of. I don't know why my brain remembered him being, you know, having a few more, you know, I guess being a little less emotional toward his clients, but you know, when I watched it, I was like, oh, okay. You know,
no. I also thought the decision to kind of, like, you know, for the for most of the movie, you know, the main villain is this big sort of computer generated Grim Reaper sort of creature, who you find out later on is, you know, Jake Busey. I always thought that was kind of a weird decision, kind of how he's this big kind of imposing creature, and then, not that Jake Busey isn't weird looking or imposing, but it just felt odd that, okay, for most of the movie he's going to be this thing, and then there's like this definite split where he now becomes like, he just is his normal human form spirit for the rest of the movie.
Well, that's more of like the Scooby reveal, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they find him, they get him while he's on that, and they finally take off his mask and reveal who the big baddie is. So.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember being shocked by that reveal when I first saw it. So I'd seen it before, so I knew that going into watching this again. So I guess maybe that wasn't sort of it seemed more of a tonal difference to me than a reveal.
Yeah,
like they wanted this character to connect with Dee Wallace or whatever, and it probably would look weird with her kind of making out or whatever with a Grim Reaper dude. I don't know.
And I thought for some reason that, which, by the way, y'all, Dee Wallace.
I know. How?
Two in a row. Two in a row with Dee Wallace. Her character was creepy. She was creepy. And I thought for some reason that we were going to find out, I couldn't remember this, but I thought we were going to find out she was possessed by Jake Busey's character, but I forgot about that.
I remember the whole kind of like forbidden love kind of, you know, Bonnie and Clyde sort of relationship that they were supposed to have. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's been such a long time since I saw it. I was watching this expecting that, yeah, she is a key to something and she does need to get out of that house. And not thinking that she would be essentially the second part of the big baddie.
Right.
The living half.
I guess I think I remember being more shocked by that than by the whole, it's Jake Busey's spirit killing all these people still. So that's where I kind of left it. But I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I was talking with a buddy of mine at work today, and he's kind of like, yeah, he's like, I remember watching that and liking that movie, kind of like the Transformers. I didn't think I was going to like it when I watched it, and I ended up enjoying it. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it.
So what have we learned from this movie? We have learned that ghosts shouldn't have sex ever. It's creepy.
Oh God. Yeah.
It's creepy.
I love when they lie still.
Stop. Yuck.
Sorry. This is the reason why they call me the hanging judge. All right.
No, bad.
Sometimes people are scarier even than ghosts.
Yeah. Dee Wallace's character, she was creepy.
Her mom's hair was creepy.
Creepazoid.
Her mom was creepy. Yeah. I thought she was a big daddy. Anyways.
Yeah.
When you die, make sure you're not wearing something trendy, otherwise you'll be in it forever.
Mm-hmm. Shaft. Damn right.
Recommendations. I think this is an excellent movie. Definitely worth a rent to determine if you want to buy it. I recommend the director's cut, although I'm not sure what was added.
Yeah, I actually tried to find on the net to see if I could figure out what was added, and I couldn't figure it out. So I don't know if it was a whole lot, although it did seem like a pretty long movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was almost 2 hours
long. Yeah, it was like hour 52, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it's interesting. I think it's entertaining. Definitely worth a rent. Netflix or Redbox or whatever. Kind of fun if your kids are older, you know, maybe not, maybe early teens, I would guess, maybe be kind of a cool Halloweenish kind of movie to watch, you know.
But agreed. And you know, I just in general, just it's an enjoyable movie, but like I said, it has its flaws and it has those schizophrenic moments where you're not quite sure what it intends to be. But I definitely had forgotten about this movie, and it had been long enough that I watched it with kind of a fresh eye. So I enjoyed that, and so I liked it. It's worth seeing. If you watched it before, watch it again. You'll see something different.
Excellent. And now this. Right here, right now. There is no other place I want to be. You know, I think it was last week, maybe a few weeks before or something. We got the groan for me putting into the document that we were going to watch The Social Network.
You got a big groan.
Yep. I got a groan. It's like, oh, please. I don't want to see that. And I forced everybody to see it. directed Mega by Mind. David Fincher. I know.
Mind.
Directed by David Fincher, written by Aaron Sorkin, based off of the book Accidental Billionaires, starring Jesse Eisenberg, Rooney Mara, Justin Timberlake, Arnie Hammer, and Andrew Garfield. I would like to preface this by saying this is a work of fiction. Just saying.
Fair enough. And by the way, for those of you who are trying to figure out who Aaron Sorkin is, and you've heard his name, he is the longtime companion of Kristen Chenoweth, theater diva. Thank you.
Alrighty. I think more people would know him for being the writer creator of The West Wing.
I don't know about that.
Aaron Sorkin?
Who might be listening to this podcast? I'm just kidding.
No, I think there's people who <He's too. like, laughs>
He is in her audiobook as well. Just a little bit wicked, but anyway. Back to the Fit Social Network.
So, what'd you guys think?
Well, it was interesting when I went to see this because I was the only person in the theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was. Well, I went after work yesterday, so it was like 4 p.m. on a Tuesday, and somebody actually came in and sat down like right before the movie started. And then she got up and left right before, like, literally as, like, the theater kind of trailer was running and never came back. So I was like, okay, I've heard this movie was good. Maybe they were lying to me because there's nobody here. It's kind of weird.
I think that was probably a time of day thing, really.
Yeah.
Because I saw it on Saturday night in a smaller theater, in the larger theater. And, you know, it was fairly filled. The one thing that really, yet again, that annoyed the crap out of me in this movie was how many people were on their cell phones and texting during the entire movie. Mm. and, you know, and there was a piece of me that is sitting there going, what should I expect? It's a movie about Facebook and tech and all this kind of stuff. I bet people are texting people, look, I'm at the Social Network movie right now.
I'm Facebooking that I'm at the Facebook movie.
Yeah. It was really getting on my last nerve. You know, but it was kind of a young, hip crowd that was at sans myself, sitting up in the corner by myself, enjoying my hot dog. For dinner. But I thought overall, you know, it flowed. I was surprised. It actually humanized a lot of the characters. You know, clearly, like you said, it's a work of fiction from one person's side or a couple people's side.
But they really do make him, they really do make Zuckerberg look like a douchebag. You know,
sure, man, they do, man. I was like, holy cow, he's not a very nice guy at all.
Yeah, they make him definitely come off like what you would think a computer programmer, you know, or a tech guy, the typical IT guy would be like.
Right. Well, I'm just like, you know, I've never seen or heard or had any experience with seeing how Mark Zuckerberg is when he interacts with people. So I don't know where they got the, I don't know, if the tone for his performance came from the book or what. But watching him play this guy, I mean, he did a great job. I mean, I totally bought him as the character. And his whole way of sort of, he had a very stream of consciousness sort of way about him where, like, I'm going to talk about whatever happens to come into my brain, and it's much more brilliant than anything you could possibly think of. So just hang on and enjoy the ride and try to keep up with me.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So especially the opening break scene.
Oh, I love that scene.
That scene was incredible. And, you know, I was looking for the trivia here. It says they had to shoot that 99 times, 99 takes for that scene. And the script was 8 pages long just for that opening. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty crazy.
You know, and one thing I like about Aaron Sorkin is he can make dialogue, like just two people talking and not really doing anything, just talking, sound really, really interesting, even if it's about nothing, you know, about it's nothing spectacular or anything. It's not like a really important, a highly important thing.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Kevin Smith and Tarantino have made a career on making movies about people talking about nothing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. I just was like, I was kind of in the same mentality as Steve going in, that while I really was not interested in seeing this movie at all, a couple of the sort of viral trailers that they had for this movie kind of intrigued me a little bit. Especially the one that used the Radiohead song Creep in it with the choir singing it. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that trailer. But that one was like the first time that I actually said, well, ooh, okay, maybe this is something more than what I'm thinking it's going to be. And I was just sort of blown away. It flowed well. I think it was shot well. I was never bored at any point watching this movie, and I don't think it felt as long as the movie was. It felt like it was really kind of fast, sort of, you know, there was at no point where I ever just kind of like, okay, we can move along. We don't really need to see any of this. You know, I didn't think that any shot was wasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and I was definitely surprised that for such a dialogue heavy movie, because this wasn't, you know, this was not an action movie, but the most actiony thing was the Winklevoss twins rowing, you know, down the river.
The zip line off the roof.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Oh yeah. The zip line off the roof. Those were the two actiony things. But at the same time, for such a dialogue heavy movie, you could follow it. It was, the dialogue was interesting because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was pretty much watching it to see what kind of asshole statements, for the most part, that the Zuckerberg's character was going to say. You know, from the very beginning when, you know, they're sitting there, he's like, you know, when they're talking about the relationship and everything, and he kind of goes off and definitely plays the stuck up Harvard guy. You know, and it's definitely like, well, you wouldn't get it because you go to BU, you know, that thing. And from that point on, you're like, oh God, what an ass.
Right. See, I don't think I really took him as being a douche, but being more of just oblivious.
Right. Socially awkward, blurting out what's in his mind.
Which is fun. Which
not
is
having a filter, you know.
Right, it's kind of strange that this guy is the one who made Facebook the largest social network that there is right now.
But isn't he the? I mean, isn't he the initial? Like initially, I'm not saying today, but isn't he the kind of guy that that Facebook was meant for back when it opened up, you know, like kind of like the people who might not necessarily, I don't know,
no,
the most success connecting with people in person, perhaps.
No, maybe. It was meant to be a college social network.
Right.
That really focused on being people networking within colleges, which is one of the reasons why they kept saying, we want to spread that out to these. I mean, the spread of Facebook, that part was truth.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. You know, it started out at Harvard, then went to some more schools, then went over to Stanford and kept going and just growing. And then the number of schools that they were at was the accomplishment, schools. Mm.
Oh, I remember. I remember the papers. I was at Clemson at the time. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it was like in my transition between like Binghamton and Clemson and such, and working there. And I remember our students getting all excited when it was in the student paper that Facebook's coming to Clemson. Do you know what I mean? Like, so everybody was all excited.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was that exclusive environment. And eventually, they opened it up to the world, and now look where they are.
Yeah.
So,
Before we move here, there's one thing I did not encounter you completely, Jeff, but just because somebody isn't aware that they're a douchebag doesn't make them any less of a douchebag.
Amen. A jerk's a jerk. Yeah.
I still didn't feel him as being a jerk. I felt he made some. That it showed him as making some bad decisions and just being oblivious to things. But I didn't take it. And this is just my opinion of the matter. I didn't feel like he was set up to be as a douche, just oblivious.
Mm-hmm. Well, they sort of played around with a couple motivations here. And I don't know, again, you know, keeping in mind that this is a work of fiction. You know, and of course, in every bit of fiction, there's always a little bit of truth in there somewhere. But they kind of portrayed him as sort of like the angry sort of rebel geek. Like,
yeah.
Oh, he got approached by Microsoft to buy some piece of software that he wrote when he was in, you know, just a kid. And, you know, it is a sort of FU to Microsoft. He just uploaded it to a site and gave it away for free. You know, like, I'm not going to take your money. I'm not selling out to the man. Here's what I think of that. You know, and they kind of played that up a bit. But they also kept going back to the fact that he kind of was doing this to sort of, I don't know if he's trying to do it to impress his ex-girlfriend or if he really wanted to get her back.
Right. Like that he kept, you know, like putting, he would put his name at the top of everything or at the mm-hmm. bottom of everything to make sure everybody knew he did it.
Right.
I mean, there's being proud of what you're doing. And then there's just, I'm trying to put a banner out there so everybody sees that it's me and it's mine.
Well, I think part of that comes from the fact that, you know, in the beginning he talked about wanting to get into, what the hell do they call them, a finals club?
Yeah, the finals clubs, yeah. The secret societies there, yeah.
Right, so I want to do something that gets me noticed. So he does, you know, he does the friend mash or face mash thing, crashes the Harvard network, so that gets his name out there. And then, you know, so once he kind of figures out that, oh, I can kind of go off and do this on my own and I don't need these people, it seemed like it was like he was playing it. I can go and do this by myself, but I'm going to make sure that everybody knows that it was me
mm-hmm.
doing it and I didn't need anybody's help to get there.
But so. The thing was that he, you know, the thing that he doesn't he doesn't seem to recognize, that character doesn't seem to recognize, is that he does need people to help him.
Oh, and he has people helping him.
Right, like Eduardo's character. He's probably the one of all of them that I kind of felt, you know, I didn't really feel too bad for the Winklevosses. The Winklevosses I really didn't care so much about, you know. And their guy. But Eduardo seemed to really be the one who was hurt in this circumstance.
Agreed.
You know, and, you know, like he went in completely in trust and with his best friend and was just like, hey, let's do this together. And, you know, and then, you know, he got stabbed by, you know, the situation. You know, it just, at least, you know, in the view of the movie.
One of the trivia items that I read, I didn't post it in here though, was that Jesse and Andrew really became really close friends while they were shooting this, and that they had a really hard time shooting the scenes where their friendship was sort of breaking apart in the movie because it was so kind of really emotional for them, so they had a hard time pulling it off. But I couldn't tell that at all from the performance. And Justin Timberlake, man, talk about coming out of left field and just, wow, he really impressed me with this one. Just, I totally bought him as the Napster dude.
Sean Parker.
Yeah.
I'm a little iffy at it. I don't quite agree with you. Maybe it's just I don't know anything about Sean Parker really besides that he founded Napster as an entrepreneur and stuff. But
there is the whole thing about he did get busted with cocaine. That's a real
There's some truth within this, but all in all, it's a fictional story, a fictionalized account. While I accepted him as being that his character is Sean Parker, he still seemed like Justin Timberlake to me. He didn't like disappear as Justin Timberlake and be Sean Parker to me. It's just he was playing Sean Parker. I accepted him with that, but to me, it was Justin Timberlake.
He didn't have different hair or dress differently, or, you know, there wasn't something that made him look different than Justin. He just looked like Justin on the screen.
Right. I mean, they could have it's as if Justin Timberlake was doing everything and not Sean Parker.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't seem like, I mean, there's some things I'm sure that Justin wouldn't have done anyways, just himself, but that Sean Parker did, but it didn't. I don't know what he could have done to make it more like he was Sean Parker versus Justin Timberlake, but I couldn't separate the two. So
yeah, well, Sean Parker is very much a, I mean, from the little interviews I've seen of him, he's always come off as sort of like, I'm the bad boy of Palo Alto, like. You know, I had all these people come after me, and I made all this money, and I'm just the shit. So, I guess maybe that was influencing my sort of take on it, because I found it to be pretty spot on from the little bit I had seen of him before.
Yeah, but I get where you're coming from, though, Jeff. Like if he had just gotten up out of bed with that girl and been like, oh, I'm Justin Timberlake. You know, it would have, you know, even like, you know, you would have been like, okay, you know, like kind of like gone right away, because it didn't feel like, I mean, clearly personality wise, you know, from what we know, at least publicly, he seems very different from the Sean Parker character, clearly. But as far as but I get where you're coming from. It just looked like it was Justin Timberlake there. It was hard to go. You definitely were like, okay, this is Justin Timberlake playing Sean Parker versus like the character Sean Parker being played by Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
You know, it's So it definitely was different. The thing that kind of struck me was I loved at the end. This just made me laugh. Those little rolling credits at the end that would be like for an undisclosed sum and not to talk about what happened. And then, or you know, or they got $65 million, and were told not to talk about what happened. And I'm like, gag order? What gag order? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just like, this whole movie should not have been made if there was supposedly a gag order over, well, you know,
it was over them. So maybe the Winklevosses weren't actually,
yeah,
you know, consulted in regards to this matter, I would assume.
Yeah.
Or they were just given a gag order where they themselves cannot talk about the case or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Supposedly they actually, the one and a half guys, I don't know how to describe that. You have one guy who played two characters, but another guy
played the body
from the waist down. So it's kind of like, okay, they got to meet the real life Winklevosses, supposedly. So, you know, who knows what they may or may not have told them. You know?
Yeah.
They can't go on the record and say anything, but, you know, they can tell somebody whatever they want. They can just can't have True. It be on the record. You know? They can't go to a newspaper and say, this is what happened. But, you know, mm-hmm. go to their house for a drink and they could...
Yeah, there's no telling what you'll hear. Yeah.
Right. So... Yeah, it was really, really surprising. Really, really surprising movie for me. So, what about the soundtrack? I think I may have heard somewhere that Trent Reznor was doing this, but I forgot about it. And then in the opening credits, when it said music by Trent Reznor, I was like,
mm-hmm.
"Oh, really?"
Yeah, I bought the soundtrack.
Yeah,
yeah. We talked about Trent Reznor doing it a while ago.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I thought the music in this movie was perfect.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it wasn't distracting. So I think it fit well. It wasn't any point. There was no point other than the scene where they were in the dance club, which was actually somebody else's music playing. that I found it, you know, any of the music sort of annoying or not going with the movie. It's just sort of weird to say Trent Reznor is composing the music for any movie.
Well, he's done that before, hasn't he?
I would have to look it up. I don't think so. My internet is working at the speed of slow. So.
he's done a bunch of. He did some music for Being Erica. Tetsuo the Bullet Man, 2009. I Forget You or The Lost Art of the Mostly Your... that's a short. He did music in Wanted.
Okay.
The Hitcher, Doom. Oh, he had a song in the soundtrack.
I was going to say, are these songs or did he compose?
Yeah, he has songs. Composer, here, that might help. Social Network, Closure, which is a video documentary. He did music for Quake.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's true.
And Broken. So this is his first feature film.
Full theatrical feature film, yeah.
But yeah, I with Trent Reznor's essential genius, I'm not surprised he could definitely do that. So.
And not to get too far off the track, but I figured I'd ask while we're talking about music, did anybody else have the derezzed from Tron Legacy as a trailer before this?
No.
Yeah, they had the full sort of minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes of the Daft Punk song from the soundtrack. And kind of like a trailer sort of thing. So,
interesting.
Okay.
No, mine were all, you know, semi chick flicky, try to be hipster movies like, What was the one we just saw that I didn't care for the trailer so much? The psych ward movie. I'm going to forget the name of it all of a sudden.
Oh, Sucker Punch?
Yeah, no. Gosh. I want to call him the...
It's kind of a funny story.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
It was all movies like that were in front of my movie.
I'm trying to remember what I saw. I saw the trailer for what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, I haven't seen this one yet.
Really?
We'll get to it. We'll get to that.
But. Oh, my God. We'll talk about it. Speaking of which, let's first find out what we've learned from The Social Network.
Yep.
We have learned to don't drink and blog.
Don't drink.
That's another one of my favorite parts of the movie was his blogging as he was doing Face Smash.
He was hacking into Harvard's network.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you just give the play-by-play for everything you just did, Dumbo?
It's awesome. Sometimes you just have to take the bitter with the better. Girls dig cats that look like Hitler.
What?
Mm-hmm. As the Countess says, money can't buy you class. Yeah.
Money can't buy you class. No, that's just a little reference there because all these rich kids with nothing to do with their lives. Like, you know, just because you're rich don't mean you got any kind of intelligence or, right. You know, real light, real sense. Let's just say that.
Daddy and lawyers are just a call away.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do I have to say about this movie? I think this is a great movie. Just don't think of it as a documentary. It's a fictionalized account, and you should be fine. I think people should definitely go see this, especially if you have an Alamo Drafthouse nearby, because although you will see the trailer that we're going to be talking about in a second in front of every single movie that plays at that theater. That's all I got to say.
And for me, basically what I kept saying all the time after I saw it was like, who knew a movie about Facebook would be so interesting? So that's pretty much all I'm going to say. I'm sure everybody that you've been hanging around with has seen it has been basically echoing this. Just say, go see it, because it's actually an interesting flick. Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that I was surprisingly interested in this movie once it got going. I definitely went in assuming I'd hate it, but walked out away liking it and actually posting on the website, on our Facebook, to tell Jeff publicly into the world that I apologize for assuming he was going to ruin my weekend.
That, my friends, is The Social Network. Now, the rat.
Gonna go to be the future soon. I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away, it's gonna be the future soon.
Stupidest trailer ever. My God, will you just kill me now?
It's your week, Jeff. You could have changed the trailer. I'm just saying, if you really felt that
bad.
Yeah. This trailer over and over and over and over and over and over. Any movie I went to see at the Alamo Drafthouse, this was in front of it. Single one.
That's what I was going to say, though. Maybe it's because I'm going to see them at mainstream theaters.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing this at all. I had never seen this trailer. For all the movies we've seen, I had no idea this was even coming out. Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's because the Alamo Drafthouse loves these Sundance-y movies, and this is one of those Sundance-y movies, perhaps.
Yeah, it has to be, because like I told Jeff before he put this on the list, I had never even heard of this. So I was like... And then he's like, you've never heard of this? I've been seeing this trailer forever.
Yeah, no, not it.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, okay, see, for me, I think my trailer like that was Megamind. I think I've seen Megamind in front of every movie that we've seen since we started this podcast. It was like, oh my god, if I have to watch that again.
Well, and now I'm not getting the Megamind trailer. I'm just getting the Megamind, was it Visa commercial?
Yeah. I like the color blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, this is going to release in less than a month, so I can finally stop seeing this damn trailer. So to let people know
what's the name of the movie?
Called 127 Hours. It's about a mountain climber becoming trapped under a boulder while canyoneering alone near Moab, Utah, and resorts to desperate measures in order to survive. It's based on a true story of
times.
It's based on a true story of Aaron Ralston. I frankly, this might actually go into the category of I will never see this movie, or I refuse to see this movie because I've seen this damn trailer too many times. I mean, they're trying to drum this thing down my throat, and I don't want it. I'm choking.
But the trailers are put on by them. There's only one trailer attached by the studio. The rest are all put on by the theaters. So maybe your problem is with the Alamo, not with the movie.
The movie.
In any case. I can't wait until this movie comes out so I don't have to see it and I don't have to watch this trailer anymore.
When does it come out? November 5th. Whose week is it? Wait.
You're a vengeful bitch. I love it.
November 5th, that is the week. Oh, no. That is my week.
Oh, it's not Megamind. That's in a couple weeks after that.
Oh, Paranormal Activity 2. Did I purposely do that?
Yes, we're going to see it.
I'm going to go see that one.
So,
the point of the trailer. Okay.
Oh no! It's Megamind, which is that week. So that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So anywho, the point of this movie, I will tell you, I get you where you're coming from, that this doesn't look like a great movie, but I'll tell you why I am not so excited about seeing this movie. Just from the trailer alone, I can tell this is a schizophrenic movie, as we've talked about before, many, many times, because I'm watching this movie initially thinking it's going to be like a documentary kind of style of, this is what I'm going through. Then you watch the trailer and you see that you're going to be seeing the family searching for him. Everybody, you know, the things that led up to what's going on, the stories from the news, all that kind of stuff. I'm just like, so is it a docudrama? Is it a scripted kind of version of the truth? Is it what kind of movie? Is it a suspense thriller? Action movie? Like, it seems like it's trying to be way too many things,
right?
And I could tell that just in the, you know, 2 minutes of the trailer. And so I'm just like, whoa, this is like totally confusing the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to go see this just because it doesn't seem to grab me in one way and draw me in. It's trying to draw in like, we're going to make this an exciting action movie. And for those of you who are Sundance people, it's an independent kind of movie. And if you like documentaries, you're going to like this because it's about me filming myself while I'm in this situation. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel you there, and I'm approaching it with this sort of duality because it's a movie about a dude who gets trapped for 127 hours. So it's one of those things again where I'm like, how are they going to make a movie about a dude who's basically trapped in one spot and can't move and basically talks to a camera most of the time? Interesting. So I'm like, okay, that sounds like it would be incredibly boring to watch, but then I'm also curious to see how they could possibly pull it off, because it did get some
was at Sundance or whatever the hell film festival it came out of. So, but I don't know. That also could be the fact that, you know, it's based on a true story and everybody, you know.
We love the spirit, the survival against the elements and those kind of things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I had not heard of this movie before. And honestly, this shows you how little I actually pay attention to the news. Didn't really know anything about this guy. So when I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, it's a movie about these three people who get trapped or something.
You know? Yeah, you're thinking it's like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, when you watch the beginning of the trailer, I'm just like, oh, great, it's another one of these movies about they're climbing in the Inca pyramids and they fall down. It's like, oh, the whatever, the, you know the ones I'm thinking of. The ruins and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's what I thought it was going to be. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, is this about the movie with the guy that cut his arm off? Mm-hmm. You know, and then I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's not even that one. Hold on a minute. What's this about? You know, and then by the time I realized what it was about, I was like, let me take a nap.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, obviously the people that, you know, the indie movie people are all like, oh, this is an awesome movie. But I don't know. It doesn't completely pique my interest. So I don't know what else to say about it.
And that's peak, P-I-Q-U-E, correct?
Yeah.
This isn't peak way.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got Jeff, who just would rather die than see it.
Yes, kill me now.
And me, I don't know if I want to see it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just kind of really still confused. You know, there's nothing drawing me to it whatsoever. It's, what does it want to be, a docudrama or a high-budget feature? Whatever. I give it the big W for whatever. There
we go. All right. So, with that, let's talk about next week.
I'm excited about next week. So excited about next week.
So we got, in the past, we've got Halloween to continue our October horror movie.
Yes, and we're talking about the original, not the 2007 Rob Zombie remake.
We are talking Jamie Lee Curtis at her best.
Mm-hmm.
And worst hair. But best.
Yeah. Best acting. Bad hair. Then we'll also be checking out Red in the present. That's retired and extremely dangerous.
Every time I see the trailer, I'm just getting more and more excited for this movie.
Yeah. And in the future, we'll be talking about the trailer for Unstoppable.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anything for that one yet.
I've only seen stuff online for it, so.
We'll check that out.
Yeah.
And you guys can check us out at movies.cubsoutloud.com. There you can leave a comment on the show. You can also shoot us an email at cwellmovies@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/cwellmovies, which is essentially just taking everything from our Facebook feed at facebook.com/cwellmovies. So join our fan page so you can get that all. Also, we would love to get a review from you on iTunes, so pop on there. We're also in the Zoom marketplace, and apparently there's a way to get reviews on there. I myself haven't quite figured that out, but we're also we're one of the two podcasts that are available in the bear podcasts that are available on the Zoom marketplace. Just saying about that. Also, we want to get don't forget to nominate us for the Best Bears 2010. That's shoot the nomination for Best Bear Blog or Podcast to info@thecompletebear.com. You were saying?
I was going to say, so you're saying we have 50% market share on Zoom for
a bear podcast, yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
Excellent. So, for me, for Fuzz, for Steven. Good night, everyone.
Sayonara.
Bye.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That'll do, kid.
That's the worst goodbye I've ever heard. And you stole it from a movie.
looking at you, kid.
End of line.
I'm so excited I can have a Starburst now. They've been staring at me for the past hour.